Hello and welcome to the City View podcast. I'm Andy Sylvester, editor at City AM, and the week has already thrown up a few surprises as we head into Monday. Late last night, we saw confirmation of a bid by private equity giant KKR for Telecom Italia, valuing the company at just north of 10 billion euros, but also promising to take on around 22 billion worth of debt. It would represent one of the largest private equity buyouts of a European company in history. Elsewhere, M&S shares shot up this morning as markets took in rumours that the American investment firm Apollo had been taking a look at the retailer. CEO Steve Rowe appears to have the outfit on the straight and narrow for the first time in recent history, so there's already plenty to sweeten the pot for investors. But the prospect of a stateside company doing some window shopping certainly cheered markets. And Boris Johnson and Keir Starmer went head-to-head at the CBI conference today, offering up their pitch to business. Starmer said in City AM this morning that he understood that when business profits, we all do, a far cry from the Corbyn era, and generally went down well in the hall after a speech that was perhaps a tad boring, but certainly safe and secure. It was a stark contrast to Boris Johnson's peroration earlier in the day, in which he appeared to, amongst other things, compare himself to Moses, got his papers mixed up, and then had to delay the speech halfway for another 30 seconds, and then, having lost his place yet again, elected to fill the space with a paean to the wonders of Peppa Pig Land. Even by the Prime Minister's standards, it was quite something. But the biggest story of the day is in the energy world. Bulb, which has 1.7 million customers, has announced the firm is heading for administration. Here to discuss that story is Nicholas Earle, our energy correspondent. Nick, Bulb bust, the biggest outfit so far. What happens now?
So it'll go into a process of administration. And from that, there's going to be talks largely with the government and potentially with other partners to see if any sort of emergency sale could be made for the struggling firm. If that doesn't happen, then the situation is there'll either be a supply of last resort process, which has been the process for 21 energy firms so far that have ceased trading. But as Bulb is still operating, and due to its size, it's much more likely to go through a special measured process involving the business department, potentially where public interest has to be taken into account and a larger, more extensive process has to be made before deciding what to do with its customers.
Yeah, and customers of Bulb obviously being told, as ever, when these companies go bust, not to worry that the lights will not go out at home, at least, even if they might be going out at Bulb's HQ. There's a few things here. Bulb have been reportedly in talks for a while about funding, reportedly in talks about looking even for a buyer. But fundamentally, they're just the biggest player to go because of a problem that's affected now more than 20 energy companies in the UK, which is that as wholesale gas prices have risen, wholesale energy prices have risen, they're simply unable to pass the costs on to the consumer.
Yes, that's right. The average usage price cap is set at £1,277. And this isn't going to change until April at the earliest. Although Ofgem has announced it is going to try and review the cap and the measures to see if it can actually create a situation that's fairer for energy suppliers. It's not a case in this situation it's been overexposed or that it's had issues with liquidity. Instead, it's simply been a case that it's been unable to deal with an industry-wide crisis.
Yeah, for sure. We had Justina Milton-Knight, who's an energy policy expert at Uswitch today, saying that this demise was not caused by a badly run business model, but instead Bulb simply choked off by the way the energy market is currently structured. We will wait and see what happens to Bulb in the coming weeks. It's 5-6% of the UK energy market. It had something of a USP in the sense it was always looking at renewable energy and was, until not too long ago, very much touted as, you know, a real sort of British startup success story. So a sad day for the British startup community, interesting day for the energy community, and an awful lot of work arriving on the business secretary's desk, I have a feeling. Thanks, Nick, for joining us.
Thank you.
And now we're going to be joined by CityM's features writer, Elena Sinskalko, to talk about another pressing issue for the Prime Minister, alongside Peppa Pig and his Moses ambitions of today's CBI conference, which surrounds some controversy over an oil field. Tell us about the oil field.
Yes, Andy. So what I was writing about is the controversy around the coal mine in Cumbria. That's a very hot topic because most of the residents are in favor. 90% of the residents, people who live there and work there, tell me, are in favor of the coal mine because that part of Cumbria is very poor and simply need jobs. Yeah. And, you know, people there are just going to take what they can. Mm-hmm. And so there's huge support for that. But obviously, it's controversial because if the UK is now the leading country in the Green Revolution, how can it possibly justify a new coal mine? And, you know, people in favor insist on the fact that it's not going to be coal for energy production, but obviously for steel, which is different, but it's still, you know, incredibly polluting. And what is interesting, I think, is that what Boris said is, you know, I'm not in favor of more coal, but ultimately the decision should be with the local planning authorities. But the thing is, the decision is not with them anymore because it's been taken out of their hands, is now subject of a public inquiry, and then it's going to be up to Michael Gove ultimately to decide whether they will go on with the plans for the coal mine or not. So that's also
one to watch. It's interesting because it's one coal mine, decent number of jobs in the local context, but we're not talking about a huge project. But what we are talking about, I guess, is the difficulties of governing, because it's very easy to talk about the politics of net zero and to, it's the old story that you campaign in poetry and govern in prose. We've had the poetry of net zero. We've had the poetry of the UK leading the world. We've had all of that. But actually, the transition to that and the trade-offs you might have to make along the way to ensure that the economy continues to power, that those people have jobs, because with the best of the world, that part of Cumbria is just a perfectly situated place to put a coal mine. It's not necessarily the perfect place to put the next, you know, gigafactory for Tesla. So Boris has some issues with his levelling up ambitions, doesn't he?
Yeah, completely. And I think another interesting thing that has been said to me from people from there is that this environment vs. jobs debate, it's been there for a while because they also have Sellafield, which is the nuclear plant. And, you know, they were telling me, this debate always plays out in poor areas and you can't really, it's easy to blame the people there because they want a coal mine. But ultimately, as you said, the government needs to find a way to make this transition in a way that makes sense, I guess.
Yeah, and we saw an element of this debate not so long ago around fracking, because that was very much in the kind of Fylde Peninsula, which is sort of Blackpool, Fleetwood, part of the world, which is not blessed with huge numbers of advanced jobs. There were environmental concerns, of course. It doesn't look like fracking is ever going to be back on the table. It looks like that one's been put to bed, no pun intended, in the UK.
Yeah.
But Boris is 2 and a bit years out of an election now. Things will have to feel different on the ground if he's going to be able to go to the country, in parts of the country where he had said, vote Tory for the first time, we'll sort this. If they aren't feeling like they're sorted, or they aren't feeling like there's much progress, then the pandemic, Brexit, those aren't going to probably be excuses that work on the doorstep, I wouldn't say. What do you think?
Completely. And I think, you know, it's also interesting that yes, people there need jobs, but there's all this talk of net zero and the green transition here. And then you move to Cumbria and the debate has switched again to whether we want this coal or mine. And I think the issue for Boris Johnson could be that, you know, there's this huge gap and people are going to start asking themselves, why are we still debating about this where in other parts of the country, they seem to have almost moved past this entire thing.
Yeah, I have a feeling the costs of net zero, maybe the both in terms of jobs and cash, energy bills, the whole lot, and be one of the stories of the next 12 months. Elena, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
And that's all from us at the CTV podcast today on this, what was a quite pleasant Monday afternoon, but now, thanks to the lights of daylight saving, is a thoroughly grim and dark Monday evening. We will see you tomorrow in print in the morning and back here again on the podcast tomorrow afternoon. Thanks for joining us. See you again.